Good morning. It's good to see you in worship this morning. I don't think I've got anything more to say this moment, so I'll hand over to Rob. Plenty to say later on, but I'll hand over to Rob for the intimations.
Thanks, Norman. Morning, everyone. Welcome to everyone. Welcome to our service this morning, especially if you're a newcomer or visitor. Visitors may wish to sign our visitor's book when they leave. Stated annual meeting. The stated annual meeting of the congregation will take place next Sunday, the 14th of May, after worship. Reports for the meeting should be sent to the clerks, that's Rosemary and I, by the end of today, the 7th of May. You can email clerks@cairnhillchurch.org.uk. Coffee mornings. Our first coffee morning since the pandemic will take place on Saturday the 20th May from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. Please note the date. Also, if you wish to help, please contact Margaret White on 269. Okay. 269-355. Chocolate wanted. No, I'm sorry, I can't read that. Grissom, could you take over, please?
Dodgy eyesight. Chocolate wanted. For the gala this year, 10th of June, we are reviving the chocolate dip. Please bring all donations of unwanted chocolate to church any Sunday before then. Church newsletter. We are still keen to produce a newsletter for the parish to go out round about gala time. Could you write an article on something about church life or one of our activity groups? Have you something interesting to say about village life in general? Do you have a poem, a recipe, a pattern, a joke or a cartoon to share? Please send your contributions to derek@cairnhillchurch.org.uk by 21st of May. There are further intimations on the printed sheet. This can be viewed on Facebook or downloaded from the website if you don't have a copy. And finally, here's a quick look at the order of service. Thank you.
Well, good morning and it's good to be here in worship. So we're going to begin our worship by singing a modern chorus that is based on Psalm 100. It is Jubilate, Everybody. Let's dedicate our offering. Almighty God, receive from us our gifts to you. Bless us in our giving and our gifts as they are used in the work of your church and to your glory. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. As I arrived at church today, if I interpret it correctly, the people on duty congratulated me for bringing the sunshine. And I, of course, responded that I always bring light to people's lives. I won't tell you what the expressions were like when I said that, but that's another story. So, a bit of sunshine, and it's going to get warmer today, and we're 1 week into May, and it'll soon be June, and it'll soon be holiday time. Think about it. Who's looking forward to summer holidays? Right, okay. This should be me speaking to you, but I'll speak to the grumpies instead, will I? How many people like going to the beach on holiday? And how many people here have at some time or another built a wall out of sand to keep the sea back? And keep your hands up if it worked. I hate my doots. So, there we are. We're looking forward to holidays, and we're looking forward to building, and that's great. So, one of the readings today, while you're out doing other things, is a story from Jesus, who said that if you listen to what he has to say and do what he has to say, it's a bit like building a house on rock. And the storm comes and the house stands. But if you listen to his words and you decide you're going to do something different, I'm just going to do my own thing, or I'm going to go with the crowd, or all of those things that it's very easy to do. It's like building a house on sand, and then the flood comes and the house falls. And I think it says, if I remember rightly, it fell with a great crash. It's a good story. Will I tell you a little joke? Now, this is actually true. I have two churches. And when we were doing the renovations down at Limekilns, it was very clear what that church was built on. Because when we lifted all the floorboards, that church simply sits on sand. And it has sat there for 200 years on the sand. If you look very carefully, I think up at that corner outside, you can see bedrock. And I can tell you that this church is built on bedrock because many years ago I was sitting in here while outside they were lowering all the pipes that run under the road. And because they had to dig into rock with a big machine that was going tong, 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 tong. It was a bit like being in a cartoon because you felt you're going tong, 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 tong along the floor. So the joke is, I've got a church that's built on sand and a church that's built on rock. And the good news is Cairney Hill's built on rock. But the important thing, of course, is not the building material. And in fact, Limekilns Church is quite stable. And Limekilns Church is even more stable because, like us, they listen to Jesus' words. And it's Jesus' words. It's about building our lives. That's the important thing. And just to tie it all in to this weekend, what's special about this weekend? Did anything happen yesterday? Have you got a holiday tomorrow? Why? It's the coronation of the king. Well done. Well done. How many people watched the coronation? Yeah, Some people would have watched from first thing in the morning to whenever it went off in the afternoon. I watched for the 2 hours of the actual service. So just to tie it in, I was listening very carefully to that service, and there were lots of things in there that said to our King that his rule was under a greater rule, and that his wisdom should be under a greater wisdom, and that if he was going to be a good king, he would follow the King of Kings. In other words, what was being said to King Charles was, build your house on the rock that is Jesus' words, and the likelihood is that you will be a good king. But if you build your house on all the shifting opinions of everybody around you, it won't work. And that was good advice for King Charles, but it's also the best advice for us. Jesus tells us to do all sorts of good and right things. So, that's something for you to hold in your minds, whatever age we happen to be, from the youngest to the oldest. And as, right, that's Hazel. You've just qualified, Hazel. And of course, as has been pointed out to me by a number of folk, I am now allowed to use another set of initials after my name, OAP. So I'm one of the older ones too. All right, I think we're going to sing again. It just seemed the right thing to sing today, to sing, Lord, for the years your love has kept and guided. And I'll leave it to the young people when you want to have a wander out of church. But these are good words for us to sing. So let's sing hymn 159.
Thank you.
Our prayers this morning are being led by Marion.
Let us pray. We really want to thank you, Lord. We really want to bless your name. For you are a great and mighty King. Help us, we pray, to remember you more and praise your name, spreading the good news wherever we are able. Father God, you are creator of all that is, creator of the endless space of the universe and the startling beauty of the galaxies and stars. The variety and colour of the natural world, the movement of the wind, birds, animals, the colour of trees and plants, of human beings, and all the potential of their minds and talents. You are a wonderful and mighty God. You alone are worthy of our praise and love. We worship you, we honour you, and adore you. Help us to live for you, that your glory and love will be revealed through us. Lord, we have failed you in our thoughts, words, and actions. In doing so, we have fallen short of the values you set for us and the responsibility you have placed on us for the care of the world and all who live in it. We have forgotten to think of what Jesus might have said or done before responding to a situation. We confess now our individual sins and ask that we may receive your forgiveness. Thank you, Lord, for your pardon, for your renewed presence in our lives. Help us to remember that you are always there and to seek your guidance so that we don't wrong you. By the power of your Spirit, turn us from evil to good. Help us to forgive others and keep us in your ways of righteousness and love. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Two weeks from today, I'll be at General Assembly in Edinburgh. Well, actually, I'll be here, but General Assembly starts on the 20th, so I'm conducting worship here. But it is Assembly week. As part of the proceedings of General Assembly on the Saturday, a letter is received from the Sovereign. And I realised that this year, for the first time since 1951, it will be a letter from the King. From the General Assembly of 1952 to 2022, it was the Queen's letter that was read out. This official letter is read by the Lord High Commissioner. And just so that you understand a wee bit, while Assembly is sitting, the Lord High Commissioner ranks second to the Sovereign and above the rest of the royal family. So, very important position. And just to give you a little bit more information, just so that you know, the moderator of General Assembly ranks above the First Minister. So, It's worth remembering. Back in my student days in New College, which is right, well, it almost incorporates the assembly hall, one of my fellow students was expressing their disapproval of assembly bowing to the crown, because we bow to the Lord High Commissioner. But it had to be very carefully pointed out that they were wrong. Yes, we do bow, but only after the Lord High Commissioner has bowed to the assembly. So the order of precedence in terms of the church is that the sovereign and the sovereign's representative in Scotland bows to the church. And if you've been listening to words about the coronation, quite a few times it has been mentioned that when the king is in Scotland, he is an ordinary member of the church. The way that the late queen and our present king talk means that this is no bad thing. It has been noted that Scotland has been a place that has allowed them to be much more themselves. And Balmoral has played a big part in the life of the royal family for well over a century now. And that has included being at the local kirk. That somehow there is a freedom in Scotland that is most definitely not there in London. So this weekend we've had a celebration of coronation. And we've heard all sorts of views. There are those who have spoken passionately about this being a terrible waste of money. And equally at the other end of the spectrum, those who have been totally absorbed by all the pomp and circumstance. We've been told that there is generational difference, that it is more likely that the older generations support the idea of monarchy and younger generations less so. But I was struck as I watched that service on television, not by the pomp and circumstance, but at the centre of it, a man. A man who was born into the royal family, not by his choice, and has been waiting for this moment for a very long time. He is in his 75th year. He'll be 75 in November. And he takes up these responsibilities through no choice of his own. But I was also struck by the responsibility that I have, that we have, as citizens of the United Kingdom. And so we're going to turn to the Word of God, to a psalm of David, to instructions from Paul to Timothy, and and those wise words that I mentioned earlier from Jesus. Alistair.
So let us hear the word of God. Let us hear, first of all, then, from Psalm 20 and verses 1 to 9. May the Lord answer you when you are in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and grant you support from Zion. May he remember all your sacrifices and accept your burnt offerings. May he give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed. May we shout for joy over your victory and lift up our banners in the name of our God. May the Lord grant all your requests. Now this I know, the Lord gives victory to his anointed. He answers him from his heavenly sanctuary with the victorious power of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They are brought to their knees and fall, but we rise up and stand firm. Lord, give victory to the King. Answer us when we call. Amen. And then 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Saviour, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. Amen. Again. And then from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 7, 24 to 27. Jesus says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." Amen. May God bless to us this reading from his holy word.
Hymn number 160, "Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven."
Thank you.
In our service today, we're going to be using two of the hymns from the coronation service of yesterday. We've just sung Praise My Soul, and we will conclude our service by singing Christ is Made the Sure Foundation. We're also going to sing the national anthem in its hymn form, that is, all three verses. The readings chosen, the readings we've just heard, a psalm where King David looks to God for salvation. And interestingly, this is not a psalm written about David, but it is a psalm written by David. The instruction to Timothy that we should pray for all those in authority. Paul's words. And then Jesus' advice on building our lives upon the rock that is his teaching. As we've already worked out, I think everybody had their hands up to say that they'd watched the coronation. And I suspect that even if you didn't watch the coronation, if you listened or watched to the news, it would have been there too. And some, though not all, will have taken the oath of allegiance. When I was thinking about a title for this sermon and a theme for this service, coronation and nation just seemed to have a nice ring to it. And that was my reason for putting that down. It just seemed good at the moment. It was only when I sat to write I realised that there was more to this than just a clever title. Whatever our politics and whatever our thoughts on the right form of government, be it constitutional monarchy or another form of democracy, there is no getting away from our responsibility as citizens of this nation or King Charles III's responsibility as head of state. During this last year, in addressing Parliament, King Charles made a promise based upon the example that he hopes to follow. For him, it was a very personal example, as well as the public example that we know. It is, of course, that of the late Queen. It seemed right to quote King Charles. He said of the Queen and of his commitment, "She set an example of selfless duty which, with God's help and your counsels, I am resolved faithfully to follow." During the coronation service, the King was presented with many symbols to do with his responsibilities as head of state. He sat on that ancient throne with the stone of destiny tucked underneath. There were important symbols, words and promises. And of course, I suppose, there was what it was literally the crowning moment. And all of this contained within a service of worship. Again and again, we were reminded that this earthly king was under the rule of a far greater king, and that the kingdoms of this earth are subject to the kingdom of heaven. Before the very important symbols to do with state were presented, the king received a Bible. This presentation was made by the moderator of the General Assembly of the Church of Scotland. It was a very brief moment in a service and ceremony that took 2 hours. And I was struck by this very plain and simple moment compared to the colour and ceremony of the rest of the service. Even looking at the moderator, and of course many of us know Ian Greenshields because he's the minister of St Margaret's in the town. And he was in a very plain cassock compared to all the magnificent robes. And it was, they were very plain words. As we listened to the commentary we would have heard about the gold and the jewels associated with the symbols of monarchy. Yet the most valuable gift, and no mere symbol, was the Bible. The words said by the moderator reminded the king of his need of God's word, that he is under God's law. But much more important than that, he is embraced by the gospel. In Westminster Abbey, we heard the words, God save the king. Psalm 20, the newest version of the NIV, puts something different in, but most versions of the Bible, that last verse asks God to save the king. And I chose that because what was striking is that this is not a psalm about King David, but a psalm of David. It is David who is saying, God save the king. And when we read the story of David in the Old Testament, we discover that this statement is much more than that kind of simple meaning, you know, save me from my enemies. There are numerous times in the story of David when he looked to God for salvation. And a fair number of those times, it seems to that he was asking God to save him from himself, because he was not a perfect man and he did things that were wrong. He was looking to God to save him from his own errors. When David says, God save the king, it is a declaration that he is dependent upon God. It is a statement of faith as much as it is a plea for help. When we turn to Paul's advice to Timothy, he's telling Timothy to say all sorts of prayers for everybody. But Paul very carefully singles out one group of people, those who hold authority, including kings. Now, we keep saying these things that are written are not there by accident. Paul had something very specific to say, because it would have been very easy for someone like Timothy, as a leader within the church, to have a very negative view of Roman authority and of earthly kings. Because very often these were the people who were against the church, who were those who led persecution, those who put stumbling blocks in the way of the gospel. So there is real reason for Paul saying, when I say everybody, when I say all, I mean it. So remember, pray for those in authority, pray for kings. God save the king is not limited to good rulers. We are to pray for the good of all who are in authority. Now, we hope that King Charles will prove to be a good king, that he will follow his mother's example, that he will be a good and godly king. And as such, it is right that we pray, God save the king. We certainly know of bad and oppressive rulers in the world. How much of our news broadcasts, not just over these last weeks or last years, but how often is the news about or caused by those who are bad leaders? Think of the difference it would make if those who do evil found salvation in God. They really do need us to pray, God save the king, or whatever title they have. Yesterday, the spotlight was on Charles and Camilla as they were crowned king and queen. And as the cameras panned round, we saw many of the royal family. And what came to my mind And at this point, I was kind of halfway through writing a sermon. I stopped to watch the coronation and went back to my desk. And I suddenly realised why I had chosen that third reading. The royal family are very often referred to as the House of Windsor. Where do you build your house? I realised that that was the reason why I'd chosen that reading. There were many good and godly words in the coronation service. I was very impressed with the service in many ways. The challenge is that those words are not merely the ceremony to do with coronation, but the foundation for the life of our King. And I hope and pray that the words that he heard and spoke are the foundation of his time as our monarch. But of course, as soon as you start saying that, you have to say, what about us? Because the challenge is there for us too. The world and our society demands that we build on the shifting sands of worldly wisdom and the society in which we live. What Jesus gives is that rock eternal upon which we are to build our lives. We have the gospel as the rock upon which we build. And so, as I watched the coronation, and I'm not going to say anything about the oath of allegiance, that was a personal decision for every one of us. But actually, there was something far more important than that oath of allegiance. And that was our promise to God. As much as I pray that the King will build his house, his life upon the rock, I have to say to me, build your house, build my house on the rock. Not on the shifting sands of the world or of earthly kingdoms, but upon the rock that is Jesus himself. A challenge for us, as well as for those who are in authority over us. Amen. I've often said that our national anthem is actually a prayer. We are asking for God to save the King. And so we're going to sing this as a hymn. We're going to sing hymn number 703, God Save Our Gracious King.
Thank you.
and now our prayers for other people.
This prayer was taken from the Church of Scotland website. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, exalted above all nations and peoples, today we seek your blessing upon Charles, our King. Anoint him with the gifts of your Holy Spirit as he seeks to fulfill his calling amongst us. Strengthen him with wisdom and justice to serve the people of this land to the honour and glory of your name. We ask you to bless Camilla, our Queen, William, Prince of Wales, the Princess of Wales, and all the generations of the royal family. Grant to them joy and peace, and inspire them by your Spirit in their work. Ever-living God, you bring us together in our households, our families, and our communities, and you teach us to love one another as Christ has loved us. In these days of celebration, support us in the service of our neighbours and in pursuit of the common good of our nation. May your will be done in us, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
And so to our closing praise, hymn number 200, Christ is Made the Sure Foundation. And to serve the Lord, go with the blessing of God Almighty, Build your lives upon the rock that is Jesus himself, and be in step with the Holy Spirit. And now, may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.